2018学年第二学期奉贤区调研测试，高三英语听力部分马上就要开始了，现在开始试音。
When the rain is blowing in your face, and the whole world is on your case, I could offer you.Shadows and the stars appear, and there is no one there to dry your tears. I could hold you for a million years to make you feel my love.
试音到此结束，听力部分现在开始。One.Listening Comprehension, Section A, Directions. In Section A, you will hear 10 short conversations between two speakers. At the end of each conversation, a question will be asked about what was said. The conversations and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a conversation and the question about it, read the 4 possible answers on your paper and decide which one is the best answer to the question you have heard.Number one.
Thanks for meeting me, Mr. Hawker.
Nice to see you. Do we need to stop at the baggage claim area? Question. Where does this conversation most probably take place? Number two. The forecast says there will be a severe winter. Are you prepared?
Hardly. I'm waiting for the next sale to get a down jacket.
Question. What does the woman imply? Number three.
Take a seat inside and see how you feel. So, will you take the Porsche then, sir?
Let me check first. The engine, wheel, and the rear mirror. Yes, and I want to buy the insurance too. Question. What is the man probably doing?Number four, Eric's problem is that he doesn't eat enough vegetable.
Yeah, he refuses to eat vegetable unless there is some meat.
Question, what does the woman mean? Number five, Victor is really something. He nearly got killed when he tried to rescue a drowning boy yesterday.
Well, so far as I know, that was not the first dangerous situation he was in for others.
Question. What kind of person is Victor according to the conversation? Number six. I hear that the newspaper gave that comedy a terrible review.
It depends on which newspaper you read.
Question. What does the woman mean?Number seven, I wish I didn't have to make a special trip to the post office to get my package.
Well, if you call them in the morning, they will give you the package to your mail carrier to bring out to you.
Question, what does the woman suggest the man do? Number eight.
Professor, have you graded my term paper yet?
To tell you the truth, I've been tied up in committee meetings all week. Question, what can be learned about the woman's paper? Number 9.
David said that Seattle is a great place for conferences.
He certainly has the authority to make that comment. He's been there so often. Question,What does the man say about David? Number 10. Do you have a seat for the drama tomorrow?
No more ordinary seats, but we will sell tickets reserved for honored guests 2 hours before the performance.
Question. What can we know from the conversation? Section B, Directions. In Section B, you will hear two short passages and one longer conversation, and will be asked questions on each of them. The passages and conversation will be read twice, but the questions will be spoken only once. When you hear a question, read the four possible answers on your paper and decide which one would be the best answer to the question you have heard. Questions 11 through 13 are based on the following passage. Hello everyone, welcome back to the program. We all know plants need sunshine to grow, but actually, not all vegetables need lots of sunshine. Mark Hoffman and his wife own a guest house in Captain, Illinois. They often serve their guests fresh vegetables from their garden. For almost 10 years, the Hoffmans have been experimenting with shade planting. Curious visitors often ask how they do it. Here is the answer. They grow tomatoes near the trees that produce a lot of shade. Tomato plants grow as long as they get 5 hours a day of direct sunshine, especially morning sun. This goes against the traditional advice that tomatoes need 8, even 12 hours a day of full sun. In fact, plants and tree roots can share something in common. Besides tomatoes, the Hoffmans grow Irish potatoes. Plants with wider leaves seem to do better in shady environments. The potatoes grow better in the shade than in full sun. Now listen again, please.
Hello everyone, welcome to the program. We all know plants need sunshine to grow, but actually, not all vegetables need lots of sunshine. Mark Hoffman and his wife own a guest house in Captain, Illinois. They often serve their guests fresh vegetables from their garden. For almost 10 years, the Hoffmans have been experimenting with shade plantings. Curious visitors often ask how they do it. Here is the answer. They grow tomatoes near the trees that produce a lot of shade. Tomato plants grow as long as they get 5 hours a day of direct sunshine, especially morning sun. This goes against the traditional advice that tomatoes need 8, even 12 hours a day of full sun. In fact, plants and tree roots can share something in common. Besides tomatoes, the Hoffmans grow Irish potatoes. Plants with wider leaves seem to do better in shady environments. The potatoes grow better in the shade than in full sun.
Questions. Number 11. What do the Hoffmans do for a living? Number 12. How much direct sunshine do tomato plants actually need every day? Number 13. Why do Irish potatoes grow better in shade? Questions 14 through 16 are based on the following news. According to scientists in the Netherlands, the steaks and hamburgers of the future could be made not from the flesh of cows, but from artificial meat created in a laboratory. Dr. Mark Post from the University of Maastricht has already grown a small strip of artificial beef, about the size of a sticking plaster using cells from a cow, and expects to have a whole artificial hamburger ready to eat in October. By then, so much time and money will have gone into the project that the burger would cost rather more than you'd expect to pay in your local McDonald's. At least $300,000, in fact. The scientists hope it will eventually be possible to produce artificial meat in huge quantities and much more cheaply from the cells of only a small number of animals. If they are successful, a single cow could theoretically produce 1 million times beef than it does at present. The environmental benefits could be enormous. Worldwide meat production uses up a huge amount of land, not just for farm animals to live on, but also to produce the food they eat. And by 2050, when a global population might have risen to 9 billion, it will probably be impossible for people to eat as much meat on average as we do now. Unless that is a way is found to produce it using far fewer natural resources. Lab-grown meat is also an attractive prospect for anyone interested in animal rights, offering the possibility of a world in which fewer animals are raised for slaughter. Now listen again, please.
According to scientists in the Netherlands, the steaks and hamburgers of the future could be made not from the flesh of cows, but from artificial meat created in a laboratory. Dr. Mark Post from the University of Maastricht has already grown a small strip of artificial beef, about the size of a sticking plaster, using cells from a cow, and expects to have a whole artificial hamburgers ready to eat in October. By then, so much time and money will have gone into the project that the burger would cost rather more than you'd expect to pay in your local McDonald's, at least $300,000 in fact. The scientists hope it will eventually be possible to produce artificial meat in huge quantities, and much more cheaply, from the cells of only a small number of animals. If they're successful, a single cow could theoretically produce 1 million times beef than it does at present. The environmental benefits could be enormous. Worldwide meat production uses up a huge amount of land, not just for farm animals to live on, but also to produce the food they eat. And by 2050, when the global population might have risen to 9 billion, it will probably be impossible for people to eat as much meat on average as we do now, unless, that is, a way is found to produce it using far fewer natural resources. Lab-grown meat is also an attractive prospect for anyone interested in animal rights, offering the possibility of a world in which fewer animals are raised for slaughter.
Questions. Number 14. According to the passage, what do the scientists hope to achieve about artificial meat? Number 15. According to the passage, what is the result of the present worldwide meat production? Number 16. What does the passage mean talking about? Questions 17 through 20 are based on the following conversation. When I say I live in Sweden, people always want to know about the seasons.
The seasons?
Yeah, you know how cold it is in winter. What is it like when the days are so short?
So, what is it like?
Well, it is cold, very cold in winter. Sometimes it is as cold as 26 degrees below centigrade. And of course, when you go out, you are wrapped up warm. But in the houses, it's always very warm, much warmer than at home. Swedish people always complain that when they visit England, the houses are cold even in a good winter.
And what about the darkness?
Well, yeah, around Christmas time, there's only 1 hour of daylight, so you really look forward to the spring. It is sometimes a bit depressing, but you see, the summers are amazing. From May to July in the north of Sweden, the sun never sets. It's still light at midnight. You can walk in the mountains and read a newspaper.
Oh yeah, the land of the midnight sun.
Yeah, that's right, but it's wonderful. You want to stay up all night, and the Swedes make the most of it. They often start work earlier in summer and then leave at 2 or 3 in the afternoon so that they can really enjoy the long summer evenings. They'd like to work hard, but play hard too. I think Londoners work longer hours, but I'm not sure whether this is a good thing. Now listen again. When I say I live in Sweden, people always want to know about the seasons.
The seasons?
Yeah, you know how cold it is in winter. What is it like when the days are so short?
So, what is it like?
Well, it is cold, very cold in winter. Sometimes it is as cold as 26 degrees below centigrade. And of course, when you go out, you are wrapped up warm. But in the houses, it's always very warm, much warmer than at home. Swedish people always complain that when they visit England, the houses are cold even in a good winter.
And what about the darkness?
Well, yeah, around Christmas time, there's only 1 hour of daylight, so you really look forward to the spring. It is sometimes a bit depressing, but you see, the summers are amazing. From May to July in the north of Sweden, the sun never sets. It's still light at midnight. You can walk in the mountains and read a newspaper.
Oh, yeah, the land of the midnight sun.
Yeah, that's right, but it's wonderful. You want to stay up all night.And the Swedes make the most of it. They often start work earlier in summer and then leave at 2 or 3 in the afternoon so that they can really enjoy the long summer evenings. They'd like to work hard, but play hard too. I think Londoners work longer hours, but I'm not sure whether this is a good thing. Questions. Number 17. What do we learn about men from the conversation?Number 18. What do Swedish people complain about when they visit England in winter? Number 19. How does the man describe the short hour of daylight around Christmas in Sweden? Number 20. What does the man say about the Swedish people?听力部分到此结束，请大家继续答题。